Good morning. Many of us have found that throughout our lives, we try to find ways that we can find that fountain of youth, to try to keep young, to enjoy vitality. And there's many people out there and many places, even fountains, that say that if you just drink this water for a certain amount of time, that you will live a lot longer, maybe even forever. Deep down, though, you and I are always yearning for vitality, for enduring youth. But the point is that we never really take care of that problem. No matter where our journey takes us, as someone says, we all end up in the old pine box. One of those days that everyone will end up there. Now, I know we're not looking forward to that moment for many of us. And I know the times we walk by a casket as we are viewing a body, and we look at that and say, oh, he or she looks so peaceful. And the truth is, they never looked worse, actually, in a lot of ways. And it's an awkward moment. I mean, people that are living in the casket, they don't get to do their own makeup and their own hair. And we know that time is coming. We know that even for young people, as even think about that idea that death is so far away. And so this morning, I want to just take a little survey here and to figure out how many decades old each one of you are. And so how we're going to do this is this. That's one decade, two decades, three, four, five, six. Some of you might need to use almost both of your hands, okay? But here's our exercise. And round up or down, okay? Now, for me, I'm 55.6, so I have to round up to 6, okay? So, everyone, raise your hand. Come on, I'm right here. Come on, how many are you? Boy, some of you almost had to use all your hands, okay? And some of you, not so much. Come on, guys in the back. All right, good. You guys are doing it. Research says that the average American lives to be almost 80 years old, almost 8 decades. And I realized, as I was working on this morning, that I've lived almost 6 decades. Now, don't look at me. Like, you're getting really old, Lynn. Don't look at me like that. But 6 decades, which means that I have maybe only 2 decades left. And what I discover, the older I get, and maybe for you, that the decades seem to go so fast, don't they? I mean, when you're in elementary school, I remember when summer recess came. I mean, imagine that. It was like summer seemed like it lasts a lifetime. And then you blink, and your kids grow up so fast. And then imagine that. One of your daughters gets married. I mean, it just, you can't even believe it. One minute they're a little baby, next minute they're married and heading off. But for us, death has a reality. It's a reality for all of us. And ignoring it is not really a good solution. I mean, some people say, well, you know what? I'm in great shape and I'm young. I'm never going to die. But every journey has this life component. And part of that process is death. And we need to be able to accept that well. Now, one of my own goals as I'm getting older is this. My own goal is to look at my own death and to not be freaked out by it. To get to the point where I'm not scared about death. Now, I have to admit to you, this is between you and I, I'm not there yet. I cannot say that, you know, I cannot wait for that to happen. But I hope at some point that I will get to a point where when I think about that, I have just a twinge of a little bit of excitement in regards to the end of my earthly life. And some would say, well, how can that be? How can you be excited about something like that? And I think the answer to that is this, that we need to have a well-integrated resurrection theology. You're like, whoa, Lynn, that was way up here somewhere, okay? Let me bring it down. Simply stated, it's this. That on Easter, we celebrate Jesus' resurrection, and that resurrection is made available to all of us. And when it's understood, that resurrection theology, and it's believed, and we view life through that lens, it changes everything, doesn't it? We get to the point where death does not affect us like it used to. And this morning, we're going to look at a passage, one verse in the Bible, in Revelations 1, verse 18. And the book of Revelations was written by one of Jesus' disciples, John. Now, John was an old man. I mean, if you put up his fingers, it would be this. He was nine decades. Now, for John, it was very rare to live in your 90s back then. Even more rare to live in your 90s when you were a Christian, because they were being persecuted and killed. And only one of these disciples was still alive, and that was John. He was the only one that was not executed for his faith. The earlier disciples, we know that they refused to deny their faith, and the Romans killed them. But John was spared, and he was arrested, and he was put in jail. And a lot of times back in that time, in jails and prisons were on islands. And John was on an island called Patmos. And he was exiled there. He was an old man, nine decades, living there. And the Bible tells us in the book of Revelations, of Revelations 1:18, he speaks to, in Revelations, to various churches and to many people. But one of the first things that bursts out of Jesus' mouth are to John in this vision. And we know that John and Jesus were best friends. And Jesus looked at his best friend, and he was old, and only just a little bit left of his life. And Jesus had compassion for John, his friends. And he put his hand on John's shoulder in this vision. And he said, John, do not be afraid. I died. And look, I'm alive forever and forever. And John, I hold the keys of the death and the grave. Now, I believe this verse has three simple truths for us this morning. And the first one is this, that death is not the end. Jesus said, John, I died, but look, remember, I'm alive, I'm still living. The resurrection of Jesus is proof that there is life after death. But I know, like you and like me at times, we have those moments of doubts, those times that we're worried, those dark moments that we struggle with. Maybe it's on the deathbed of a family member. Maybe you're worried and you see the machine and it's going, and you see the numbers starting going down. And maybe it stops beeping and you know that person ceased to exist. Their candle goes out on their life. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ helps us to know that death is not the end. Jesus said to John, I died, but John, look, my existence is proof that one can die and still live on. And this resurrection proof does not end at the grave. And how do you know that it really happened? How do you know that Jesus really raised from the dead? Well, let me give you one example. And I mentioned it earlier, that all the disciples were executed for their faith. Disciples knew that he was alive, that he was resurrected. And they lived 40 days with Jesus. They ate breakfast together. They walked around together. They spent time with this resurrected Jesus. Is it feasible that the 12 disciples were lying? Is it feasible that they made it all up? Was it just some sick joke? And I'd say, yes, it was feasible that they were lying until their execution. When they had the sword to their neck and they could renounce that Jesus never was raised from the dead, They could have said, oh, you know what? Just kidding. He really didn't resurrect. But they said this. I know what I know. That Jesus is alive. Kill me if you must. And they all did. And they were all killed. See, the resurrection truth is this. That if Jesus lives beyond death, so can I, so can you live beyond the grave. Now, this reminds me of a time when we were up at our cabin up in towards Williamsport. Near our cabin, there's a creek called the Little Sauk Creek. And my son Isaac and Jared Myers actually were there, and they were just little tots. Well, they were, I don't know, they were 12 or 13. And Jared and Isaac and myself, I don't know if Noah was there or not, I'm not sure, I can't remember the details. But we went out to go see this rope swing on the Little Sauk Creek. And these two boys were just itching to go up there. And I was older in life. And you know, risks aren't so good the older you get, right? You know, aren't quite as risky. But I remember we're crawling up this bank and we're sliding and slip sliding. Okay, let me rephrase that. I was slip sliding away, they crawled right up the bank. And they get up there and there's that rope hanging down over that creek. And we all looked. It was steep and you had to jump out just at a certain point to drop in. And I'm weighing this situation, and I'm like, I don't think so. Next thing I know, I don't know if it was Jared or Isaac, but one of them grabbed that rope, and they went flying out over, and they jumped out, and they went down in the water, down deep into the water, and I'm waiting. Did they hit rocks, whatever? And all at once, they come up out of the water, and they go, this is awesome! And then I don't know if it was Jared or Isaac did it. And then I'm like, oh, shoot. I guess I'm going to have to do this also. So I have to tell you. And they're sitting back there smiling. But they gave me the courage. Well, actually, they were guinea pigs. But okay, but I mean, they gave me the courage to go and to jump. And I would say the same way that Jesus went first. He went down into the grave for 3 days. And then all once he came up out and he says, this is awesome. I have been resurrected. Death is not the end. Secondly, death is the beginning. You think it's the end, but it's not. He says, I am alive. And not only am I alive, but I'm alive forever and forever. And I know, as I think about that times, and maybe you do, and we start thinking about, what does that mean? Forever and ever. Have you ever thought about that? It's like, it's weird. I mean, you go to those places sometimes, you're like, I don't understand forever and ever. I mean, you mean like forever, ever? Or like a certain time forever, ever? No, he means forever, ever. And the scripture tells us that this time in heaven, this paradise, will last forever. And that this paradise will be vastly improved. And he will be visibly seen. We'll be able to interact with God. And how long will it last? Forever and ever. And it's hard for me to understand. So I'm thinking about, now I'm 55. And I think what Jesus is saying, what he was telling John, and what he's telling all of us is this. 40 or 50 years is like just a little blip. Just a little blip. Compared to forever and ever. Just so my 45, 50, or 60, or 70, or 80, or 90, just a little blip in the screen of life, eternal life. And so the result of our understanding of what Jesus is teaching is that death is not the end. It's really the beginning. Now I heard a story, this week about a family who went to Disney World. How many people have gone to Disney World? Okay, quite a few. Gone to Disney World. And it was a father and a daughter. And they were heading to Disney World, and they were in the parking lot, and they were heading towards Magic Kingdom. And, of course, Cinderella's castle. And they were taking the tram. And so the father told the daughter, hey, you know, we're going to go on this ride. It's going to be really cool on this tram ride. And we're going to get up there. It's going to be like we're flying. So this little girl got up into the tram, and she gets up there. You know how the tram is, how it's underneath, and you look out, and it looks like you're flying. And this little girl was saying, Daddy, this is amazing. This is amazing, this ride. And they're taking this ride around, out through, till they get to Magic Kingdom. And then he says, okay, daughter, it's time to get off the monorail. And she goes, no, I don't want to end the ride. I don't want to end the ride. This is so awesome, Dad. I want to stay. I feel like I'm flying. And tears are welling up in her eyes. And says, Daddy, Daddy, I don't want to get off the monorail. And then Dad said, honey, honey, we have to get off the monorail to get to Magic Kingdom, to get to Cinderella's castle. And I think life, like many times, is like the monorail. We think that the monorail is the place. We think it is awesome. It is incredible. But the monorail is not the end. That just takes us to the place where we have this eternal life. Yeah, I know. Our life here on earth is like a monorail. It's fun at times, and we like that experiencing all of that. But for many of us, I think it may be like tears. We just want to stay on the monorail. But Jesus says, hey, I got something much better ahead. You need to get off the monorail. And then I think lastly, he says here in this verse, he says, John, it's not the end. It's really the beginning. And John, guess what? John, I got some good news for you today. I got the keys. I got the keys. I got the keys over death and the grave. Now, this idea in that time of the key was significant. In ancient times, the keys was, if you had the key to something, you had significance. You were important. You had great respect. You had power. If you were given keys to the city, that was an awesome responsibility. And Jesus has the power and the keys to get us out of the grave. Last year at Lancaster Mennonite High School, we had a conference there. And we could go to different rooms to get into different classes to learn things. And we went to this one, and I knew it was going to be a popular one, so I wanted to get there early and to make sure I get a seat, because I knew that the speaker or people were going to want to go there. So I get there, and I'm early. I was not the earliest. I was probably fourth in line. And they were looking. I said, what's going on? He said, we can't get into the room. It's locked. I'm like, what? Did you go around the other door? Went around the other door. It's locked. And it's locked, and we're trying to get in, and we're like, oh, and time's going, and now there's 20, 30, 40 people, and we got to find someone who has the key. Now, do you remember back in school? See, I remember this so vividly in school, in elementary school and junior high, when the janitor came around. Could you tell when the janitor came around? This is what it sounded like when the janitor came around. Oh, hi, how you doing, you know, the janitor, right? I mean, I never understood the janitor. They had like 500 keys. I thought it was maybe a rite of passage. Every year you got an extra key. I don't know what it was. But the janitor that I had, I think he must have been there for 30 years, but he had like 50 keys. So I don't know, he got some extra credit or something. But how can you tell the janitor, right? He's walking around like it, and he has the key, right? He's going around and, oh. And so we're saying, you know, say janitor these days maybe as much. We said, where's the facility manager? We need someone with the key, okay? And so we're looking around. So someone said, go find someone. And all at once, this is awesome. All at once, we're standing there, and we could hear, and the guy actually did this. I'm coming. I'm coming. And he came, and he unlocked the door. And we got into the room. And Jesus says, I got the keys. You see, I know that some people take things and try to do it themselves. And they say, who needs the facility manager? Who needs Jesus? I'll do it myself. Most think that they look at each other, they look to their left and look to the right. You're like, well, we're more moral than that person, or we're better than that person, so we're going to go to heaven. And we can do this on our own. If we just act a little bit nicer, we treat someone nice on Sunday mornings or on Tuesday nights, that we're going to get there based on our merits. We're always hoping that our efforts, our own efforts, will get us the key to unlock the door to get to heaven. But the Bible's pretty clear. It says, you're wrong. There's no amount of deeds will get a single person out of death and the grave. No matter how stellar you are, no matter how many good grades you get in school, it won't matter. The truth is that we're all sinners. We don't have the keys. And then what other people do this. They look around and they say, I don't know if I want the Jesus key. So we look around at other places and they maybe go to a pastor and say, can you pray for me this moment? I need this at that. And they do it for a couple minutes and they go on. Or they look at religious leaders. They look at Muhammad or Buddha or Confucius. And then they think that they're going to get something out of that. They think that these people are going to promise so much. And the problem is, they don't have the key. These guys are still in the grave. Their bones are still in that grave. They don't have the keys. Is Jesus' bones in the grave? No. Jesus says, I'm the guy. I hold the key. So the question this morning is this. Do you know the guy who holds the key? Do you have a reconciled relationship with Jesus Christ? The God who made the earth, who solved the problem for us, who sent his son to die on the cross? For those that turn to him, said, Jesus, you are my only hope. Save me. Redeem me. Jesus, you are the only way. And Jesus comes and he forgives our sins. And Jesus leads us in our lives. And he says, just listen to the jingle and follow me. You see, if you know the guy with the keys, you don't have to worry about death. If you don't know him through Christ, then it's okay to be scared to death. See, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians says this. And I love Paul's words in 1 Corinthians because he sort of taunts things. That's Paul, right? He taunts things a little bit. And he taunts with these words. Oh, death, what happened to your victory? Oh, death, death, where is your sting? You used to threaten me. You used to hold this over my head. You used to say how scary death was. You did not scare me anymore because of what Jesus did. Florence Detweiler taught to me a lot about this in the last 3 to 6 months. Every time I would go see her, and it was quite a few times in the last 3 months, because each time we didn't know she was going to make it, but one time after another. And she would say to me, Lynn, how comes Jesus hasn't taken me yet? I want to go to be with Jesus, where there's no more suffering. There's no more death. There's no more tears. She goes, Lynn. She's asking me, like, I'm supposed to be the expert on this. Lynn, when am I going to go see Jesus? I said, Florence, only God knows. And there she is, 100 years old. You see, every time that I walked in and visited her, every time I spent time with her, I understood even more clearly this understanding of resurrection theology. And she was ready to go to heaven. She couldn't wait to go see Jesus. And I have to admit, I'm not there yet at times. I'm not there. You say, well, Lynn, she's 100 years old. What do you expect? Well, she had that theology long before she turned 100. You see, Florence looked death in its face. And she says, I know that Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. And I know, and she would tell me, I know that I am going to go and spend eternity with him. And you think about that. Florence, 100 years old. That's a long time, right? And I'm only at 50-some. But even for Florence, at 100 years old, it's only just a little blip of this eternal life. You see, this idea that we talk about this morning is not a dead end, but it's a doorway. It's a path to new life. See, there's a time when all of us, no matter how much we try to stay young, a time will come when our bodies will grow weak through getting old or through disease. And we will say, Jesus, I followed you in this life. And I'm going to follow you into death. And I'm also going to follow you into the presence of the Almighty God. And I'm going to live forever. And so can you. This morning, I think it's really important to ask this question again. Do you know the guy with the keys? And so we're going to just take a moment and we're just going to pray. So you can just close your eyes and just pray as we think about this, whether you really know the guy with the keys. See, some think they know the guy with the keys, but maybe the keys guy, they don't know who that is anymore. Maybe some have been running from that guy all their life. But Lord, today, we know that on this Easter Sunday, that we are walking on sacred ground. And some maybe here need to get right with you. That they need to know who holds the keys. And I know in this day and age, Lord, that we don't like to talk about the D word, death, because we want to live. But death is going to be a major problem for us. And I know that some of us have to admit that we've blown it. Or some of us say, you know what, I've been building these blocks all my life and it's not getting me anywhere. Not impressive enough. Others maybe have put their faith and their trust in people who do not hold the keys. Maybe that's you this morning. But wherever you are today, maybe for some of us we need to recommit our lives. That maybe we come and we don't know what's happening, and so we've kind of lost touch of the guy with the keys. So I pray this morning, Jesus, through your death and resurrection, that you can save us, you can wash away our sins, you can take our lives and consecrate them to you. But Lord, more importantly today, we want to thank you for your awesome sacrifice for us. For grabbing the keys of death and the grave and saying, I got this. I got it. And we can pave the way for eternal life with you. And I pray this morning, Lord, that anyone who has said that prayer and holds it in their hearts can now have the keys to this eternal life. And Lord, I know that on Easter we also talk so much about eternal life, but we forget the life that we have here to live. It's not just about something that happens after we live, but this resurrection life, how it impacts our families and our neighbors and the people we come in contact with, that we can live this resurrection life. And so, Jesus, we thank you. We thank you, Jesus, for what you have done. And we are so thankful that you hold the keys and that we can know, we can truly know with all of our hearts and our minds and our souls that you have allowed us to open up the keys of death and the grave, that we can live everlasting lives. Amen.